Start with our first song, Holy Forever.
Generations falling down in worship, to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. For all who come before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, Holy, all creation cries, Holy, you are living.
Our scripture reading this morning is found on page 476 in the hymnals, so everybody can take a hymnal and follow along. In fact, we'll read it together, if you don't mind, this morning. I did want to share something quickly before that, though, if you don't mind. In my devotional this week, I was reading something, and I thought it was applicable to our worship as a church. You know that? We're all different. We're all different. I was raised a little different than where I am today, and it's all right. But listen to what I was reading, and I thought it really was interesting before I read the scriptures this morning. Listen to this. No matter how elaborate or emotional an expression of worship appears, if it is not founded on a dedicated heart, it is superficial. Interesting. A dedicated heart will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. Amen? Come on. When it comes to the worship, superficial worship is evil. How do you like that? I thought that was interesting because I'm kind of different oftentimes, and I don't ever want to offend anybody, but I will tell you this. I love the Lord.
Amen.
And you love the Lord. And I love the Lord just like you love the Lord. Even though I may get a little emotional once in a while and get a little bit carried away, I love the Lord just like you do. And I know that you love the Lord like I do. So how'd you like that? I had to throw that in there this morning. Page 476 in the hymnals. I see everybody took one. Yeah, right. Come on. Going to read it with me this morning, please. And it goes like this. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And it goes like this this morning. Say it with me, please. Be strong in the Lord and in the power, his might power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand at your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Good job.
Amen. Amen.
Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, it is a great privilege to be with the family of God today. I look forward to Sundays. I look forward to be around this family of God. We are so blessed to be here with each other, for each other, most of all for you, Lord Jesus. We just ask, Lord, that you would bless our time together this morning. Give us a sensitiveness to your Holy Spirit, God, in this place. Touch our lives, Lord Jesus, as we worship you and praise you and honor you. And Father, may it be as a sweet fragrance in the courtrooms of heaven, our praise and our worship, our singing unto you this morning in whatever way it is. Whether it's with hands lifted up, with a voice of music, Father, with a silence, Father. Let all that is done in this place this morning bring glory to your name. In your name I pray these wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, virgin Son of God, born of his Spirit. with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
child. It's part of the worship. Isn't that wonderful? That is, Eden, thank you so much, sweetheart. I love it. I love it. Hey, folks, we're going to be sharing scripture passages and testimonies of praise in just a moment. But before we do that, a couple of things I just wanted to announce to you. First of all, I want to give a thanks to gentlemen, those of you who helped to set up, take things apart, put back away yesterday during the ladies' tea. I personally was not present at the ladies' tea, but I understand that there were a number of men who were there to help make that possible. So, gentlemen, thank you so very much, and you know who you are. You'll notice in your bulletin today that there's an announcement for the annual church business meeting that is this coming Tuesday evening, and that will be at 7 o'clock. So if you are a member of our church family, please do come out to that. That's a very important meeting in the course of a year. It's when we set our church budgets for the year, along with recognizing the church officers and committees for the year. So this Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock. And also very, very quickly, we had to practice this last Saturday. Announced about winter cancellations. Last Sunday, we had to cancel our church service, but we met Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, which is absolutely wonderful that we can have an opportunity to do that and not miss out on a Sunday service. As it does relate to winter cancellations, we'll try to get the information out to you as soon as possible, but you will need the first place always to go is the church website, because we have control of that. We have no control of what Channel 9 puts on their crawl and their website. And I've discovered over the years that even if I put something on Channel 9, it might not appear for an hour or two afterwards. So the church website, there'll always be a bubble that pops up when you go to truememorial.org, and it will tell you if the service is going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock rather than Sunday morning. Along with the church website, if we have your correct email address, and I hope we do, we will always send out a church-wide email to everybody, which is a plug to make sure that as you look at the church directory, that we have all of your correct information in there, your telephone number, your address, and your email addresses, because email addresses change, don't they? You have a new provider and you have a different email address. Make sure we have your correct email address, and you'll always get an email letting you know if Sunday's been canceled and we're worshiping Saturday at 4 o'clock. All right, that being said, have your Bibles up front of you. Go ahead. Have your Bibles up front of you. We're going to be using the next few minutes for reading of Scripture, maybe favorite Scripture passages, and along with that, maybe a testimony or two of praise unto the Lord. And let's do this publicly with one another, unashamedly, to build up the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ. You know, we're starting a new year, and what a great time to embark on a Bible reading plan. If you haven't started yet, start this week already. My encouragement to you, dear friends, is be in the Word. Be in the Word every day. Let the Lord speak to you through His revelation to us, through His written communication. And evermore, as we see the day approaching, we need to be close to our Lord. Let Him speak to us. We do so through His Word. So, number one, do you have a Scripture passage you would like to share with the church family? Or maybe a testimony of praise to Him? What has He done in your life this week, last month? What's He doing in your life right now? So let's do that together. Scripture passages to read publicly or testimonies of praise. Pastor Al has the microphone. Let's pass it around for a few minutes. Let's encourage one another. All right, I see him way in the back. Yeah. We'll make you run way in the back to start us off. And Pat has a word for us. And as the microphone is making its way back there, those of you who are joining us at home today, worshiping with us online, thank you for joining us. We have the microphone going around, so you can hear also what we're doing here in the sanctuary. All right, Pat, start us off there.
Matthew 21:22 says in the NIV version, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And I was reminded of this week in a devotional that I read, that many times when we're going through difficulties in our life, or we're struggling, or we're ill, or we're wondering about the world, we tend to call those that we call friends or family first. And then sometimes when we join up with those folks for support and encouragement, we talk about what we need to do. And the last thing we will oftentimes finish that conversation with is, let's go to prayer about this. And the devotion that I read was a reminder that we should go to prayer first instead of going to that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to those others for encouragement and support, but oftentimes we don't go to the Lord first. And this scripture is so true. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If we go to the Lord first, he will oftentimes direct and answer and give us the support and encouragement that we oftentimes are not unable to find in others. So I was encouraged this week that as I'm dealing with some issues in my own life, I need to go to the Lord first in prayer, because he always answers, because he loves us so.
Amen. Thank you, dear. What a wonderful reminder. Al, to your, yes. There you go.
Anybody else?
Right there. There you go.
I'd like to praise the Lord this morning. The shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 117, says so much. Praise the Lord, all you people. Praise him, all you nations, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Such a short chapter, and it says so much. The Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord teaching us to praise God, to worship him, to recognize what a great and mighty God he is. And I find in my prayer life that I try to praise him, and all my praises seem to come up short. I just can't seem to find the words to magnify and glorify the great God Jehovah, of his son Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
All righty.
Yes, sir. Great. Hello, everybody. Good morning. My name is Michael. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs 11:30. And it says, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
Good verse.
All righty. All right. Al, we got one up. Where do we see? We have several up over here. All right. We're giving Al his exercise this morning. All right. As the microphone is making its way around, be thinking about, is there a text or scripture you can share a testimony or praise, maybe that comes from you?
I think this is really apropos considering the times that we live in today. We're getting the word from our government, our elected officials, this is what's supposed to be done. This is how you're supposed to live. And my mind is drawn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were living in a captive land, and the government was personified by King Nebuchadnezzar, who decreed that whenever his followers were marching down the street and having a parade, that the image that they had created, everybody had to fall down and worship. And I take up the verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, will be able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And be encouraged. I know it's tough. We live in a godless nation. The authorities are telling us all kinds of things. But we need to have this conviction that we're just going to make a stand for God, and it doesn't matter what the authorities say. We're going to make a stand for him.
Amen. Amen.
Young lady that you called.
My verse is John 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through all things were made without him. Nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that was life on the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness over what has overcome.
Amen. Thank you, Eden.
Thank you for that. I see your hand over here. Let's go over this.
All right. Do we have one more? One more? One more scripture reading or one more testimony? All righty. Actually, we have several more.
We have several more.
All righty.
This reading is from Ecclesiastes 7:13, 14, and 14. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. And I thank God for all of his words.
Amen. One of my favorite is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I saw another hand over here. Yes, ma'am.
Mine is from James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's very hard in these days when you hear so many things of negativity going around. And I find a lot of times I want to speak while I should be listening. And sometimes I have to turn around and not get angry. All of these are, you know, even more so in your private life as you grow older and also in your public life. And we need to, you know, heed this and turn to the Lord in all these aspects.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I see another hand here. Was there one more?
Probably no accident the Lord has given us only
one
mouth, but
here.
Two ears, right?
I was thinking nowadays how much fear sells. You know, you turn the news on, the radio on, and everything. It's just, everything's about fear. And I was thinking of Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. He says, I am, and I will, and I will. And he will hold us up with his righteous hand.
Amen. Folks, one more? One more? Don't be shy. One more? One more? All righty. All right. Oh, we got one more. Craig in the way. And we'll wind it up with this. Thank you so much for sharing, encouraging one another with the Word of God today.
I want to praise God for the lessons that we learned through Scripture. And the one that came to mind through this week for myself was while studying the book of Daniel in chapter 5. It spans from 3 through 8. But the lesson was that just like the king that was arrogant and did not have the lessons that were learned passed down to him, it stressed the importance of sharing our faith with the next generation. Mm-hmm. So praise God for that.
Thank you, friend. Folks, thank you for sharing this morning, encouraging one another in the rich truths of God's Word, and even more so as we see the day approaching. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time? Let's prepare now to worship that God in the bringing forth of our gifts, our tithes, our offerings. Those of you who are joining us at home, you can join and participate with us right now. You'll know that on the church website there is a link to give via Tithely, and we welcome you to join us in that also if you are at home. So, hey, let's worship together, let's pray, and we'll take up our morning offering. Lord, how good it is to hear your word publicly read and proclaimed. How good it is to hear the saints encouraging one another with truth from the Word of God. Oh, Lord, thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. Thank you, Lord, that thy word is true. And, Lord, we want to worship you now this moment through the giving of our gifts. We've worshiped you in song. We have worshiped you in recalling your word and remembering its promises. And now, Lord, we will worship you in the giving of our gifts. Lord, would you receive these gifts to the glory of your name? Would you receive these gifts and bless those who give? Oh, Lord, bless them real good, I pray, and that the gifts would be used for the continuance of your kingdom program at this time in this community around your world for a time such as this. We give now with worshiping hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and find your red hymnal and your purple chorus book and have them handy. You are special music today, and so we're going to be singing your favorite hymns and choruses. If you're joining us at home and you have a home hymnal, have that out front of you, and we will let you know what song it is that we're going to be singing. So as you hear the organ music start and the piano start, you also can sing along with us. So with hymnal, with chorus book in hand, what would you like to sing today?
Yeah. We can do that. Ah, yes, I like this song. We're going to sing next, Stand Up for Jesus. We missed it. We're going to sing some words. Okay, sing it unto the Lord.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood. Savior.
Say, praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Whew. Yes. What page? 372. 372. Living for Jesus. Right on. Do the first and last verse, and we can sing a couple more then, okay? First and last verse.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Giving allegiance, glad heart. Thank you.
love that song. I love that song. Let's go back here, right here. She got it here first, okay?
Can I get 335
and it's a short one? Well, that's all right. 335. Maybe we'll squeeze you in, Eli, yet, okay? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yeah, I know this song too. Praise God. In the chorus book, and we'll wind it up with that one. Huh? 13 in the chorus book. Thank you, Master. Give thanks. Let's all stand. Give thanks to the Lord is what we're going to be singing in the chorus. Amen. Great, great chorus. Thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. You may be seated, everybody. Good singing this morning.
Yes, thank you for the good singing this morning, our opportunity to worship in song. That which we do when we come together on the Lord's Day, it is all an act of worship unto Him. The song that we raise, the gifts that we take up, the scripture passages that we read, the fellowship that we enjoy and cultivate is an act of worship unto our Lord. Hey, let's pray together. And then I'd like for us to pick up where we left off last Saturday. If you were not with us last Saturday, we'll try to get you caught up a little bit this morning if we can. All righty, let's pray and we'll study God's Word together. Oh Lord, how good it is when the saints come together to worship and adore you. Oh Lord, how good it is when the saints come together and read and proclaim your holy word. Oh Lord, how good it is when the saints come together to build one another up in the things of Christ, when Christ has that place of preeminence in our thoughts, in our hearts, in all that we do. And now, Lord, for this time of the careful study of your word, the exposition of truth from the sacred text, Lord, our prayer is that your Holy Spirit, the author of the text, would lead and direct us in all truth. Lord, would you use these holy words to build up the saints, to encourage the body of Christ, to correct the body of Christ where necessary. Oh Lord, we just give to you now our time of study and devotion in your holy word. Lord, would you bless richly this time we have together now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the year was 1960. It was the fourth quarter of the NFL championship game. Those were before the days of Super Bowl. They used to be called the NFL championship game. That particular year, it was the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. They had come to the end of the third quarter. The Eagles from Philadelphia were trailing the Packers from Green Bay 13-10. What was amazing about that particular game is that just 2 years prior, the Green Bay Packers had been the worst team in all of the NFL with a 1-10 record. 2 years later, they had made it to the big stage. Their coach, the great Vince Lombardi, had taken over the Packers back in 1959. And now, just 1 year later, he was in the big game. Actually, he was on the verge of winning the big game. The Packers could taste victory. There was only one quarter left to go. Philadelphia Eagles would have the ball one more time. They consumed a large portion of the fourth quarter, and they made their way into the end zone, and they took the lead. Green Bay would have the ball one more time before the game came to an end. There wasn't much time left, but unfortunately for them, the clock ran out before they had a chance to score another touchdown, and the Philadelphia Eagles would win the NFL championship game that year. After the game, as usual, the head coach will address his players, a very despondent team, I would imagine. And the great Lombardi is said these words to his men. He said, never again will this happen. You will never lose another championship game again. And over the years, his voice would prove to be prophetic. The next year, 1961, the Packers gathered together for a training camp at the beginning of the year. Coach Lombardi gathered his team together, and although they had been in the championship game the year before, they had established themselves as some of the most elite players in the game. There were four future Hall of Fame players on that team, including the great Bart Starr at quarterback. However, Coach Lombardi was not impressed. He assumed nothing. He began that season with a clean slate and a most elementary lesson. Can you imagine this? Greatest players at that time in the NFL, he's gathered them together for their first team meeting at training camp. And he begins with the words, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And then he began to unpack the game with careful scrutiny. And these men would learn that football was not simply a game of chance or skill or individuals running up and down a field and being in the right place at the right time. Rather, it was about discipline. And Lombardi was absolutely convinced that the team that would win was the team that had committed themselves to perform the absolute basics of the game in a superior fashion. Well, as the storyline goes on, they would never lose another championship game. As a matter of fact, they would take five of the next seven of them. He was absolutely obsessed with the basics of the game, how to tackle, how to run, how to throw, how to block. The following year, they went to the NFL championship game. Once again, it wasn't called the Super Bowl. They would face the New York Giants that year, and they would defeat them 37-0. They would go on to win many more championship games. Some believe that Vince Lombardi was possibly the greatest coach in NFL history. As a matter of fact, in the Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl team wins that game, now they receive a trophy. You know what that trophy is called? The Lombardi Trophy. Sure, it was named after him. Folks, we begin a new sermon series today. Actually, we began it last week, but today we have all of us together on the Sunday morning. I've simply entitled this, "The Unseen Realm and Spiritual Warfare." We began last week with a number of passages from Scripture where we simply were able to peek behind the curtain of the unseen realm and see what the Scriptures had revealed to us, what it had recorded for us as part of the permanent record of what happens in the unseen realm. Friends, did you know that the unseen realm is a very real place? It is as very real as the physical and material world that we traffic in each and every day. And those who deny the unseen realm do so at their own peril. It is a very real place. Spiritual warfare is a biblical reality. And those who deny spiritual warfare do so to their own peril. The demonic realm is a very real thing. It was spoken of many times by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the gospel narratives. He had encounters with demons. He exercised authority over them. Friends, these are not simply fanciful stories for the weak-kneed and the simple-minded, as so many would like to accuse us of today. Satan is not a cartoon character. He is not a Halloween costume that many people don each and every year at the end of October with pointy ears and a pointy tail and a pitchfork. Or those who would simply look to deny him, those who would have that sort of thinking do so to their own peril. The spiritual realm is just as real as the physical realm that we traffic in today. And this volume that we hold today tells us all about it. Spiritual warfare is just as real as kinetic warfare. It is just simply fought in a different realm with a different enemy in a different way. So as the great Lombardi began with the basics and the fundamentals to his team that year back in 1961, dear friends, I would like to start this way today. Friends, this is the Word of God. It is breathed out. It is inspired. The word is theopneustos. And it is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped in every good work. Friends, this is the Word of God, and it will reveal to us all that we need to know and have to know about this topic of the unseen world and spiritual warfare. And this book will never, ever lead us astray. It will, however, expose an enemy to us. It will expose his wiles, his schemes, and his plans. And as we read through the text together, and as we study a very large, very important topic together, I will ask you to do two things. Number one is to remember these truths, these two truths. May these truths govern our thinking and always be in the forefront of our thinking as we embark on this very important topic, especially for a time such as this. Truth number one. He is a defeated enemy. That's truth number one. And his defeat came at a cross and an empty tomb. I would like to read to you, if I may, just a handful of passages as it relates to these important truths that we're going to consider before we get into our study today. Number one, he is a defeated enemy. Colossians chapter 2. And each of the passages I'm going to read to you today are all within the context of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, every one of them. Colossians chapter 2, I begin at verse 12. The Bible says this: having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So context is the resurrection, okay? Verse 13, and you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And listen now, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them. It is through the cross and it is through the empty tomb that today we have a defeated enemy. Number one, let's remember that. Number two, I would say this, as we embark on the topic of spiritual warfare. We mentioned this last week. This is so very important. Not only do we have a defeated enemy, number two, friends, you and I come from a position of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? This is not just a part of a health and wealth prosperity movement gospel. No, this is the truth of Scripture. We come from a position of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Scriptures once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. And just the mention of 1 Corinthians 15 should set off a bell in your heart, in your mind, your heart right away. That's the resurrection chapter. That's the great resurrection chapter of the New Testament. This is truth within the context of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, I begin at verse 20. And it says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. And then listen, verse 24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Within the context of the resurrection, not only do we have a defeated enemy, but we come at life from a position of victory in Christ. Let me read to you one more. 1 Peter chapter 3. Listen to this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, I begin in the latter part of verse 21. The scripture here says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the context, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. If I'm not mistaken, I was taking some notes earlier today. Worship team, I believe it was the first set that you had put up on the big screen. And it talked about the name that is above every name, over thrones and dominions and powers and positions. The name of Jesus is above all that. Number one, there is an enemy. Yes, there is. And he is a very formidable enemy. But he is a defeated enemy. Number two, we live out this Christian life that we have been called to live through Christ, through a position of victory in Jesus, through his resurrection. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Have you ever noticed that scriptures all often use different kinds of metaphors for the Christian life? For example, one of the metaphors used in Scripture is that of construction or that of building. Alrighty? Faith is built, it's constructed on a foundation. It says that that foundation are the apostles and prophets. It says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So we have the image of a building. We have the image of construction. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22. Listen to the word of God. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Scripture uses the imagery of a building or of the work of construction sometimes as it relates to our relationship with Christ and our Christian walk. Listen to another. This is Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fail because it had its foundation on the rock. So scriptures tell us often of foundational principles of truth. And it will use the metaphor of construction or of building. That's one of the ways in which the Christian life is referred to. There are other times when the Christian life is referred to as an athletic competition. An athletic competition. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, it says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, yet only one gets the prize, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So we have the imagery of, well, the sporting world, of athletic competition as it was 2,000 years ago. Here's another one. This was at the close of Paul's life in his final canonical letter. He writes to young Timothy, and he'll use the same imagery. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, he says, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure is near. Listen, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. So there are times when the Christian life, the Christian walk, is referred to in terms of building or the world of construction. There are times when the Christian life is compared to the world of athletic events. There's another. Sometimes the Christian life is compared to the agrarian culture in which these people were raised and lived and knew all about. And listen to John 15, 5 through 8. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Actually, there are many more. But sometimes the Christian life is, well, compared to the agrarian world in which they lived. But there's one more. There's another. And it leads into what our topic is today. Scriptures often refer to the nature of our spiritual walk as that of, well, spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare metaphor. You don't have to have been walking with Christ very long to know that when you come to him as your Savior, as your Lord, you have entered into a very different kind of life, and it is that of warfare. Satan may have lost your eternal soul when you came in faith by God's grace to Jesus as your Savior, but his labors do not stop there. Oh no, he's going to continue. He's going to try to make you a bad witness to the faith. He's going to try to discourage you from your faith. He's going to try to make you fall away from your faith. He'll do all he can to make sure that you are not devoted to the person of Christ, that you do not abide in him regularly, daily, moment by moment. Oh, he's still at work. Make no mistake about it. Scripture refers to the Christian life so many times as that of spiritual warfare. And there is an enemy. And he has wiles and he has schemes and he has weapons of warfare. And friends, this whole truth of spiritual warfare is just as real as the seat that you're sitting in today. It is a very real thing. Just because the unseen realm is not seen or noticed or observed through the human eye alone, please make no mistake about it, it is just as real as the physical and material world that we traffic in every day. Listen to the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Bible says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with, notice it refers to it as war, it refers to it as a fight, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Warfare, spiritual warfare, is a very real thing. 1 Peter 5:8, be on alert. Be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And those who are supposedly so much more sophisticated than we are and look down upon us for believing such truths as a devil and demons and those who would believe that, oh my, he has them right where he wants them. And then there's the passage that, well, we read it together this morning, didn't we? Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. We'll spend a lot of time in this passage in the weeks and the months to come. Finally, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord, in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Friends, the sum total of the Christian life is not simply, well, you know, you receive Jesus as your Savior, and now just go and be a nice person and do nice things. And the Scriptures teach us that, yes, the first stop in the journey is at a cross, for sure. A cross and an empty tomb. But the Christian life is also described in warfare language. Spiritual warfare surrounded the earthly ministry of Jesus. Spiritual warfare abounds today. And it might not be a war that is fought against flesh and blood, as the Scriptures tell us, but rather it is against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers. And I promise you, we will unpack that more and more in the weeks to come. The unseen realm is just as much, just as real as the physical and material world in which we traffic in every day. And the Bible is very clear on the topic of spiritual warfare. Peter warns us, 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Our enemy, Satan, the devil, is a very real entity. He is not a mythical invention. He is not some type of mythical creature. Other titles for him in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he is called the tempter. Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 and 38, call him the wicked one, or depending on your translation, the evil one. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser of the brethren. And some of the titles that he has in Scripture. John chapter 12, verse 31, he is called the ruler of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is called the God of this age. 2 Corinthians 11:14, he is called an angel of light, meaning he has the capacity to deceive. We'll talk about that one in the coming weeks, because Jesus told us in the Olivet Discourse several times in Matthew 24, be not deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Because he wants us to know that in those days, as we move closer and closer and closer to his coming again for us, will be days and seasons of great, great deception. And I believe that we are living in those days, even today. Spiritual warfare is this truth from Scripture. The idea that humans battle supernatural powers. Now, these supernatural powers, and once again, this will be unpacked more in the weeks and the months to come, manifest themselves today, well, in a number of different ways. they will manifest themselves today in the issues and the topics that we see happening today. Things that upset us, things that might anger us, things that offend our sensibilities. It might be unlawful laws. It might be attacks that are made on God's truth, God's word, God's people. It might come in the form of purposeful deceit. It might be treachery. It might be duplicity. It might be the spirit of the Antichrist spirit that is running rampant today. And I think it looks like what Isaiah told us about. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Listen to this text of scripture and see if this does not read like today's newspaper. Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You see how there's this exchange that is happening. And today, friends, we are living, and I don't need to rehearse to you all the things. You know them as well as I do. You read them in the daily newspaper, where black has been turned to white and white has been turned to black. And you read the article, you watch the news story, and you wonder, good gravy, what have we come to? What is going on around us today? Do we see these things happening today, friends? We see them happening in spades. You cannot turn on the news report today. You cannot pick up the newspaper today without being offended or upset in some way. These are events of spiritual warfare. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Psalm 119, verse 136 says this, "My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law." My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. And each and every day, it almost seems like they heighten it to a new level of atrocity. Well, again today, this is sort of an introductory message. There's two introductions, I guess, to this series and where we're going to be going in the weeks and the months to come. We're going to get into the details of who these powers and principalities and these cosmic powers are. But if I could leave you with some basic foundational truths today, it is that God's word is that which informs us, gives to us understanding on this issue. And let us remember before we depart today, Romans 8:37, that we are already conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord, that Satan is already a defeated enemy, Colossians 2:15. And remember this also, please, that the power that works in you, 1 John 4:4, the power that is at work in you is greater than he that is in the world. Christ has defeated him already. He might oppress, but he can never defeat the believer in Christ. He is a defeated foe. So as I began, so I conclude today, dear friends, this is the Word of God. This is the Bible. It is breathed out of God. It is inspired of God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It will instruct us in truth. It will never lead us astray. And it's going to tell us about this thing called the unseen realm and spiritual warfare. This book will expose the enemy. It will expose his schemes and his wiles and his plans. And friends, that is where we're going in the months before us. Hold on for the ride. I wanted to close today, and because we're going to turn to the hymnal in just a second, with the words of Ernest Shirtleff. He writes and he says this, "Lead us, lead on, O King Eternal. The day of the march has come." Listen to the spiritual warfare language. The day for the march has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, your tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, your grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Oh, the life that we have been called in Christ to live is, well, one of the pictures the scriptures draw for us is that of spiritual warfare in the matter of the unseen realm. But please make no mistake about it. He is a defeated foe. And in Christ, always in Christ, we will always have the victory. Praise the name of the Lord. That's where we're going, friends. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, our gracious Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We know that it contains the truths that you would have for us to know, not only unto eternal life, but truth for today, for this very hour. Lord, help us to be devoted studiers and learners of the sacred text. May we be encouraged, may we be emboldened in the truth that you have revealed of who we are in Christ. Oh Lord, I pray that as we learn about the topic of spiritual warfare, that we will do so knowing that you have given to us and you have equipped us with everything that is necessary today to abide in you and to walk victoriously in you. Lord, we do not fear the enemy. He has been defeated. But Lord, we know that we have a worthy adversary. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment and prudence as to his workings. Oh Lord, I just pray that we would be led of your Holy Spirit now in this ever, ever important topic. Lord, lead us by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, my friends, made mention of it just a moment ago. It's 483 in your hymnal. And those of you at home and you are joining us and you want to sing along with us as you hear the piano and the organ start, it is Lead On, O King Eternal. It does have three verses. Let's go ahead and sing all three of them. I think it has a message with regards to what we're thinking about these days. 483, please stand with me. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's worship. Lord of hosts, unto the Lord of armies, heaven's armies be all the glory. Oh, Lord, I pray your blessings as the congregation is dismissed today. Lord, as they go into the world, oh, Lord, watch over them that they be not of the world. Lord, may Christ be seen in them. May the power of your Spirit be at work within them. As your Spirit dwells in them and among us, O Lord. Lord, strengthen us for the day before us, the week before us. Lord, may we go forth with courage and with boldness and in the truth of your word. O Lord, bless these good people, I pray. Watch over them and keep them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord. You are dismissed.